Hey, well, good morning, everyone. Oh, we're going to try that one more time. Good morning. For those of you who know that things have changed a little bit up here, we are preparing to enjoy our time together in worship, but our time together in worship, as I said, is a little bit different. We are going to experience our children's Christmas program here today. And just because it is not maybe the usual way our service looks doesn't mean that this is any less a time of worship as a gathered body of believers. As we open our service, just a couple announcements. Just a reminder that we do have a Christmas Eve service coming up. So on December 24th, we are going to be having a Christmas Eve service here at the church at 7 p.m. And so please make time to come in for that, and we will enjoy a time of worship together. It won't be overly long, but it will be good to refocus ourselves on the reason why we come together to worship at Christmas time. And for those who are interested in being a part of our church directory, this is also the season where Tony's starting to work at that, and the church directory will be getting put together. So if you need to update your family photo because it hasn't been done in the last 10 years, or your names, or you've added children, or any of those kind of things, Sherry and I don't have to do that this year, so that makes life a little easier. But we are going to open our service, and I'd invite you to join with me in a word of prayer as we get started here this morning. Our God and our Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning to give you all honor and glory and praise. And we thank you that as we do so, that we have the opportunity this morning to hear from little mouths, from young ones, the truths of your word. And we pray that as they speak the truth, that that truth would come to us and that you would work by your Holy Spirit to apply it to our hearts. And we pray also that even as they speak it, that they would take it in and they would receive that truth. For none of us outgrow the incredible news of the incarnation of your Son, Jesus. And so, Lord, we pray that we would glorify you in all things here this morning, that you would be pleased by the worship of your servants. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As a reminder of what we look forward to, would you hear this morning's call to worship from Galatians 4? But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. This is God's word. Would you please stand as you're able and join with us as we sing to our God in worship.
Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed his birth. Glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings to earth. Fasting alone in the desert, tell of the days that are past. How for our sins he was tempted, yet was triumphant at last. Tell of the years of his labor, tell of the sorrow he bore. He was despised and afflicted, homeless, rejected, and poor. Tell me the cross where they nailed him, writhing in anguish and pain. Tell story so tender, clearer than ever I see. stain, let me weep while you whisper. Love paid the ransom for me. Tell me the story of Jesus. Cry on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. You may be seated. Thank you.
I'd like to invite everyone to open. Actually, I forgot to ask for four brave men to do the to help me to do the offering. Anyone, just maybe four brave men. My apologies.
Thank you. I'd like to invite everyone to open their Bible on the Book of Romans. Chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning that we can gather here, give you praises and worship you, Lord God. We thank you for protecting and guiding us on our journey, for our fellow believers, for protecting them, and we ask that you bless our offerings and tithes this morning. It's only a little portion of the vast blessings you've given us. I pray for our pastor Josh. May your Holy Spirit be with him as he deliver your message today, and for the kids that's performing, let your Holy Spirit be with them, and your Holy Spirit for everyone here. Open our hearts, Lord God, to receive your message. Pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Now it is my pleasure to open our children's Christmas program, and I'd invite you to join with me in a word of prayer as we open the program. Oh, Lord our God, we come before you and we acknowledge that we have far too often become too busy with the fringe benefits of Christmas. That we get so engrossed in gifts and feasts and fellowship and so many other things, that the truth of the incarnation of your Son Jesus, that the message that God the Son would be made flesh and come to this earth, not for his own enjoyment, but that he would come to this earth to save for himself a people, even knowing that that would cost him his very life. The Lord, as we worship you together in the Christmas program here, as children declare to us the truths of this story that most of us have heard hundreds of times, Lord, we ask that you would help it come to our hearts with freshness, that it would fall upon fresh ears, that as we read your word, we would read it with fresh eyes, that we would not for a moment be hardened to the truths of Christmas and the incarnation and the good news that is for all the people, news of great joy, that your Son would be born in Bethlehem. And Lord, we pray for each one who is here that you would prepare us to hear that message and that it might even affect the way that we conduct ourselves in this upcoming Christmas season. Lord, this is a season where many are more open and willing to hear the message of the gospel, perhaps even assuming it. But may we as your people not shy away from declaring it and not declaring the fullness of it. For we know that the coming of your Son at Christmas finds its fullness in his full life, his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his glorification, and his current ministry at your right hand, and the fact that he is coming back one day. So may we declare the fullness of your gospel with all boldness, knowing that it is the greatest news that anyone could ever hear. And that if we come bearing it, then we bear the greatest gift that anyone could ever receive. So empower your people by your Holy Spirit. Make hard hearts soft, O Lord. And be glorified in the worship of your people, and particularly these little ones. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So let us enjoy, presented by our Children's Sunday School, Too Busy.
Wow, this is a really busy time of year. I have to shop and bake and decorate and get ready for all the parties.
I know what you mean. I haven't even started addressing our Christmas cards yet.
Cards? Oh no, I knew I'd forget something. Hey, I've got to run to the store real quickly. I hope the cards aren't too picked over.
Okay, see you later. I hope everything works out.
Do you have your Christmas list yet?
Not yet.
You better get started. I've been working on mine.
Me too, but I ran out of space.
people sure are busy these days. Yeah, Mom and Dad hardly have time to rest.
Is that what Christmas is all about? Being busy. I want to know.
Me too.
Let's see if we can find out what Christmas is all about. Here comes someone now. Go ask him, Liana.
Excuse me, may I ask you a question?
Huh? Oh, what? Excuse me, little girl. Well, aren't you cute? I don't have the time to talk right now. Sorry, I'm just too busy.
Would you stand with us as we sing?
Angels, we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains. Shepherds, why this jubilee? Why your joyous strains prolong? What the gladsome tidings be, which inspire your heavenly song? Gloria in excelsis Deo, Gloria in excelsis Deo. Come to Bethlehem and see Christ whose birth the angels sing. Come adore on bended knee Christ the Lord, the newborn King. See him in a manger laid, whom the choirs of angels praise. Mary, Joseph, lend your aid, while our hearts in love we raise. Gloria in excelsis Deo, Gloria in excelsis Deo.
Well, we didn't find anything out from those shoppers.
They were too busy.
I want to know the true meaning of Christmas.
Me too.
Here comes someone else. Excuse me, are you busy?
I certainly am busy. I was baking cookies and I ran out of vanilla. I was so sure that I had plenty of vanilla. Isn't it that the way it always is? The ingredient you're sure you have is the first to go? Oh yes, I'm very busy. These cookies are for church, you know. But do you want a cookie? I do have a few from my first batch with me. See? They're shaped like little stars.
Would you stand with us again as we sing, O Little Town of Bethlehem?
O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee rise above thy deep and sleepless sleep. The silent stars go by, yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met with thee tonight. For Christ is born of Mary.
hearts together proclaim the holy birth and praises sing to God the King and peace to men on earth. How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. Oh, holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in, be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Well, what did she say? She was too busy to talk.
I want to know the true meaning of Christmas.
Me too.
Here comes the older kids. They don't know what the true meaning is. They think they know everything.
What do you want? We're really busy.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
We're on our way to go caroling. We have a long list of houses to go.
That's right. Yeah, we've got to go. We're busy.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, late in time behold him come, offspring of the Virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
Thank you, may be seated.
Well, no answers yet. Here come some more Sunday school kids and their teacher.
I want to know the true meaning of Christmas.
Me too.
Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel.
Isaiah 9:6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
John 1:14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Very good. Now let's go back to our seats. Later we'll work on the scenery. We want to make some good-looking mountains for the congregation.
Hi, everyone. Excuse me, but we have a question. Do you know the real meaning of Christmas? We can't get an answer. Everyone's too busy.
I want to know the true meaning of Christmas.
Me too.
Huh? What did you say? I'm sorry. We're working on the Christmas program, and we're just too busy to visit right now. Sorry.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept their watching over silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens there shone a
think we'll ever find the true meaning of Christmas? Everyone's too busy.
I want to know the true meaning of Christmas.
Me too.
Hey kids, how's everything going?
Not too well.
I'm frustrated.
Me too.
Everyone's too busy to tell us the true meaning of Christmas. We know all the regular stuff like shopping, cookies, and cards. But what's the real meaning of Christmas?
I want to know the true meaning of Christmas.
Are you too busy too?
Me too.
Well, it is a busy time of year, but I think I do have time to talk to you.
I'm glad.
Me too.
Here, let me get my Bible. It's all in God's Word.
Would you stand with us again?
Silent night. Are we on? Yeah. Oh, sorry, we're not there yet.
It's all in God's Word. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole empire should be registered. This first registration took place while Quirinius was the governor of Syria. So everyone went to be registered, each to his own town. Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family line of David, to be registered along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. Then she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him tightly in cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no guest room available to them. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the field, keeping watch at night over their flocks. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel. They were praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to the people whom he favors." When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of King Herod, wise men arrived from the east. They arrived in Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star at its rising and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was deeply disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. So he assembled all the chief priests and scribes of the people and asked them where the Christ would be born. Then Herod secretly summoned the wise men and asked them the exact time the star appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child, and when you find him, report back to me so I too can go worship him." After hearing the king, they went on their way, and there it was, the star they had seen at its rising. It led them until it came and stopped above the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overwhelmed with joy. Entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and falling to their knees, they worshipped him. And then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their own country by another route.
Okay, now we can sing Silent Night. Will you stand with us again?
Silent night, holy night, all is calm. silent night, holy night, shepherds quail at the sight, glory stream from heaven afar, heavenly host.
We've been blessed to see a bit of a reenactment, and we're not quite done yet. We have a little bit more to come. But I do wish that the core of the story of what we've been seeing, what we've been kind of witnessing in dramatic fashion, I wish it was more commonplace today. Titus's beginning question that he read for us, his big question, is that what Christmas is all about? Is it all about being busy? I want to know. And even if we have the odd person asking that question, what is Christmas about? We don't have enough people saying, me too. It's a question that seems to get lost in the shuffle. What is Christmas actually about? What is the big deal about what we celebrate? Many of us, most of us, have had the opportunity to go to a wedding. It would be hard for us to imagine being at a wedding and to have the bride and groom be forgotten about at the wedding. That would be a crying shame as to the whole purpose of a wedding. Or going to a birthday party and then realizing, wait, wasn't there a reason that we were throwing a party? There's supposed to be someone that we're celebrating about. And unfortunately, that seems to be how it kind of grows sometimes at Christmas, where, I mean, remember, Christ's name is on Christmas for a reason. We seem to have fallen into the trap of losing the forest for the trees, where we have all of these trappings, these trimmings, the decorations, the shopping, the baking, the feasting, the gifting, the fellowship, all of these things. They've all become a core part of our celebration of Christmas. And in and of themselves, there's nothing wrong with any of those things. I don't think too much of us can sit in front of a perfectly cooked turkey or sit with a huge gathering of loved family and think to ourselves that this is not a beautiful thing, this is not a gift of God. But the beauty of Christmas is not in these things themselves. They are reflective of the true blessing that we celebrate. They are meant to shine back to us the core glory that comes at Christmas time, which is acknowledging the incarnation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I don't think, for probably any of us, anything that we've seen here on this stage was new information. Any of the readings we've heard so far, they aren't new to us, especially all of the, typical Christmas readings. We've heard passages like Luke 2 and Matthew 2. There's Old Testament prophecies that Jesus fulfilled. Isaiah 7:14, it predicts the virgin birth. Jeremiah 23 predicts the Messiah being born in the line of David. Micah 5:2, his birth in Bethlehem. And there's so many others. And we are familiar with those we are used to. And meanwhile, there are other readings, if we look in our Bibles, that, at least according to our expectation, they are designed for other holidays. Pentecost is another time on the Christian calendar. For many, it's commemorated on the 49th day after Easter. And on that day, Acts 2 is the passage of Pentecost and the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the believers. Many observe Lent, and that starts on Ash Wednesday, and it's meant to observe the 40 days in the wilderness that Jesus experienced, the temptation of Jesus, and that's found in Matthew 4. And then, obviously, we're familiar Easter passages. We've got Matthew 27 and 28, Luke 23 and 24 of the crucifixion, death, resurrection, and glorification of our Lord Jesus. These are not Christmas passages. But on this morning where we do take time, and we should take time to specifically remember the reason behind our celebration of Christmas, the incarnation of Jesus, we gather to praise God that God the Son would be made flesh some 2,000 years ago. One thing I'm thankful for this Christmas is that neither Luke 2, nor Jeremiah 23, nor Acts 2, nor Genesis 1, nor Revelation 22, or any other passage of God's Word, none of these are confined to a day or to a season. For instance, I'll read here Colossians 1. And when I read in Colossians 1, Colossians 1 is not a Christmas passage. If anything, it's probably more of an Easter passage. But in reality, it is neither a Christmas passage nor an Easter passage. It's not restricted to any certain day or season. In Colossians 1, starting in verse 15, speaking of Jesus, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Now don't get me wrong, Solomon was correct when he said in Ecclesiastes 3 that there is a season for everything and a time for every matter under heaven. But whether or not we would see a passage as strictly seasonally appropriate or not, I mean, think of if on Christmas Eve I got up to speak a Christmas Eve message and I started preaching the crucifixion of Jesus. Doesn't feel very seasonally appropriate to our minds. Why? Well, we're talking about the incarnation here, not the crucifixion. But all Scripture is united in purpose and cut of one incredibly varied but united cloth. And while it might seem out of place at first to preach the cross at Christmas or the incarnation at Easter, ultimately each of those incredibly important moments of the accounts of Scripture, they inform each other. Without the crucifixion, the incarnation loses its joy for us. Without the incarnation, how could Christ come and die for his people? I invite you to hear from Romans chapter 15. The Apostle Paul says, starting in verse 4, he says, "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God." The surrounding context of that passage, and any time we read Scripture, we should be looking, what is the surrounding passage saying? But the surrounding context there is talking about the unity to be found in the church through the gospel, and that that gospel has been proclaimed through all the Scriptures. And remember, the Scriptures that he's talking about at that point are throughout the entire Old Testament Scripture. But the Apostle Paul is talking about how, whether it's the weak believer or the strong believer or the Jew or the Gentile, that all may in Christ, in the message of Scripture, find hope. Christmas time has long been seen as a season of hope and love and joy. And the true reason being that all of these gifts that come from God's Holy Spirit, they find their greatest expression in the Messiah whose incarnation we celebrate today. All of those things that we know that we are called as believers to show, these fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, we are to display all of those things, but all of those things are most perfectly displayed and laid out for us in the person, life, work, death, resurrection, glorification of Jesus. And all of that really starts to come alive for us, if you'll pardon the pun, but to come alive for us in the incarnation of Jesus. Because it's hard for us to think of an eternal, omniscient, omnipotent God sitting up in heaven and saying, "This is what you're to do." It would be equally binding for us. But it's hard for us to conceive of what that might look like. But then that same omniscient, omnipotent, eternal God would come and be made flesh and then live out the exact thing that he has been commanding us to do. That message that the angel brought to the shepherds in Luke 2. The angel came and said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." That is a message that we were promised throughout Scriptures, that even those who did not have any of the New Testament, any of the back third of our Bibles, the stuff that maybe we're more familiar with, but even without that New Testament Scriptures, that hope was to be the hope of the Jewish people. He was speaking to Jewish shepherds and saying, "This is good news. And all the nations shall be blessed by this good news." That was built into the promise that God gave to Abraham, that one day through Abraham, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And in Isaiah 11, we're told that all the nations would come and inquire of him. And in spite of cultural or linguistic or ideological or historical differences, God in Christ, through the message of the gospel, has created one body, the church. He has built us together with one purpose, which is to glorify him. Back to Romans 15, this teaching of the Scripture's united testimony of the coming and of the glory of Christ, it's not unique to Paul's letter to the church in Rome. He repeated it over and over again. He said as much in 1 Corinthians 10 and 2 Timothy 3. Peter said the same in 1 Peter 1. On the road to Emmaus in Luke 24, Jesus himself taught, beginning with Moses and the prophets, again looking at the Old Testament scriptures, he interpreted Moses and the prophets, all things concerning himself. Philip did the same thing when he was evangelizing in Acts 8. And that's why in whatever message is preached from the pulpit that is usually somewhere about here, or any other pulpit or pastor that you listen to preaching on any given Sunday morning, you and I ought to be able to rightly ask, how does Christ figure into this message that's being preached? It's not to say it's always going to be a straight line. When you're reading scripture, you can't just write in the name Jesus and call it good. Sometimes, especially when you're looking at some of the Old Testament scriptures, say you're looking at the book of Numbers, what do all of these numbers have to do with Jesus? But if you study the scriptures, you can see that even in the passages where Jesus is less clear, perhaps, it is still pointing towards, it is still working towards the coming and the person and the work of Jesus Christ, or setting up the coming and person and the work of Jesus Christ. If we can read any passage of Scripture, any passage, and our understanding of that passage would not be affected if we took Jesus out of Scripture, then we need to read it again. If we can read any passage of Scripture and just take Jesus out of the context entirely, and it doesn't change our understanding, then we need to read it again. And that's something our world has gotten really good at, because we like the golden rule. We like talking about how, okay, we should not murder, we should not steal, we should not lie, we should not, those are all good things, but we can read those passages without Jesus. But if we read them with Jesus, it completely changes the meaning and the trajectory and the weight of those commandments. All scriptures point towards, from the Old Testament, they all point towards the coming and the work and the person of Jesus. And all scriptures post Jesus. We think of the letters, the Acts, Revelation, all of them still interpret what Jesus has done and what he is going to do. And it's my prayer for us as we enter into this Christmas season, as we continue to walk out the life of ones who are meant to live in harmony with one another and in accord with what Jesus has commanded, that we would be encouraged to, with one voice, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, while also learning to welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. The message that we preach here of the coming of Jesus was the beginning of what God was creating here on this earth, that he was creating and calling together for himself a people. And we see all of the Old Testament find its fulfillment there. But God was creating for himself a people, and he still is calling people to his church. And as he calls them to his church, what they should hear when they come to the church is Jesus, what Jesus has done, who Jesus is, what Jesus would yet do in us, that we might better glorify him, that we might better serve him in all that we do. The message of the manger, informed by the accounts of creation, of Moses, the prophets, that all leads to the message of the cross. And that all leads to the message of Jesus Christ crucified, glorified, and now even ruling and reigning at the right hand of the Father and coming again one day. And because of what we know here in that manger, we can know things like this. That there is therefore now no condemnation for those of you who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, and for us, he did what sin could not do. He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We are called to live lives that are changed. But we can only live lives that are changed. We can only be what God has called us to be when we realize and worship the one who has changed us by his Spirit. May we as his people be the lights of Christ into the world, that in Jesus many more might know this life and this hope and might discover the same encouragement that can be only found in God's word. And now as our kids begin to shuffle back in here and finish off and share just a little bit more about our hope at Christmas, would you please join with me in prayer? O Lord, our God, we thank you that you have given us throughout all of the scriptures evidence and hope in the coming of a Messiah. And that Messiah has come, that we can know him. We know that Jesus Christ is Lord. We know that God the Son was made flesh and dwelt among us. We know that he came and lived the life that we ought to have lived. That he replaced for us Adam, who should have lived perfectly with you forever. That he became the second Adam, who did exactly what Adam should have done. Lord, we thank you that in Christ we find righteousness and hope. And that upon that cross on which Jesus Christ died, that he paid the penalty that was due for our unrighteousness. That we have fallen short of your glory because of our sin. We have not been holy as we were meant to be holy. And we have incurred the penalty of sin, which is death. But Jesus Christ, the only one who didn't deserve to die, died that we might be made righteous. He became sin who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. His righteousness communicated to your people. Lord, we thank you for the unity of the scriptures, that you have preserved your scriptures as a witness to the truth that we find in your word. And we thank you for all of the opportunity we've had here this morning to hear even children testify to that truth. And Lord, may even the testimony of children fall upon our ears differently. Work through their words, your words, upon our hearts, that we might know you and love you more. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Colossians 1:19-20. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross.
Luke 2:11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.
Matthew 1:21. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.
C is for the Christ child, the blessed baby boy.
H is for the happiness that the older happy. In this day, enjoy.
R is for the royalty of little Christ child.
I is for innocence and joy here and my own.
S is for the song.
S is for the songs of joy the old angels say.
T is for the tidings glad through the
nighttime land. M is for the manger precious baby lay.
A is for the adoration of shepherds gathered there.
Would you stand with us as we sing?
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sound in joy, repeat the sound in joy.
And with that, we bring to an end the Christmas program. Too busy. But the message that all of my friends here have helped me to proclaim is a message that continues on. It is a message that continues to bring
great hope and great joy. I love, and we'll use this as our benediction passage as we close. In Isaiah chapter 9, it starts saying, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, and those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them a light has shone." And we are those people. A light has shone in the darkness. And Isaiah goes on to say in verse 6, "For to us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." God in Christ has brought about the coming of the one who can reconcile to himself a people. And for that, we thank God. Would you join with me in prayer, please? O Lord, our God, we thank you that as we came to worship you here this morning, that we got to hear from the mouths of kids eternal, glorious truths. And Lord, we pray that those eternal, glorious truths, whether they have been spoken by children or by brothers or sisters in Christ, by preachers or by otherwise, that you would take them and apply them to our hearts by your Spirit, that we might know you and follow you and serve you and love you. We thank you for the message of Christmas that is good news of great joy for all people. And may we go and continue to celebrate that as we go to fellowship with one another. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. At this time, our program is over. Let's say thank you to our kids.